Most girls want to marry a man just like dad. That's why most moms cry at weddings. So, saw a lady wearing her wedding ring on a different finger, the wrong finger. She goes, I married the wrong man, so that's why I do that. My favorite was, I make a lot of hospital calls, and a man went into surgery, and he had a four-hour surgery. His wife was just beside herself and just wanted to be there. She can't be in surgery, so she's standing outside and just waiting, walking. And finally, they came out and said, look, he did well. He's in recovery. And she goes, look, it's been 4 hours. Can I come in recovery? He goes, well, we usually don't let people come in recovery. And then she says, I know, but I'll just be right there for him. I just got to see him. I miss him so much. I want to see him. And so they worked it out, and she actually got to go into recovery. And so they walks into recovery, and she sees her husband there, and he just looked up and goes, oh, honey, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. They nod right off. And she just started crying. She goes, that's all I needed. That's all I needed. That's fine like that. That's fine like that. That's all I needed. Well, they were very nice, and after about an hour, they let her back in. And so they let the wife back in, and she walks right there, and he kind of opens his eyes. He goes, oh, you're so cute. She goes, what happened to the beautiful? He goes, the medicine's wearing off. And so I don't know what's going on. So, Song of Solomon. And I've really prayed about how to go into one or two of these. But let's go to the Song of Solomon, and I think this will help. Song of Solomon, and verse number one. It's chapter one, verse number one. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1. Solomon was the wisest man in all the world. Outside of Christ, the wisest man ever walked the face of this earth. Solomon was amazing. He had one downfall, and that was women. In fact, he said to his son in the book of Proverbs, my son, give me thy heart, let thy eyes observe my ways. Solomon told his son, my son, give me thy heart and let thy eyes observe my ways. One thing that Solomon had a hard time teaching his boys were that about relationships with women. But he told his son, son, give me thy heart. I took that to heart for my boys and my girls. I have two boys and two girls. Two boys first and two girls. And I remember teaching each and every one of them. I just said, you're going to get into relationships. Now, those relationships can take you places, amazing places you ought not to go. I asked my children, if you could, give me your heart. Give me your heart. If someone tries to take that heart that I don't believe is right for you, I won't give it back to you. But if you give me your heart, when that right person comes along, I'll give that heart back to you. I'll save you. This is Solomon. I'd like to see what Solomon wrote about all this, all right? So look at verse number one. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Would you read that first verse with me? Ready? The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. He wrote 1,005 songs. This is my favorite, he says. This is the Song of Songs. Of all 1,005, this is my favorite song. Verse number two. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Isn't it amazing that Solomon, in his favorite song, brings up this subject about kissing. About kissing. Now, we're all married people here, and we understand the delight or the wonderful joy of kissing. Kissing. Remember when you could not wait to kiss her? Help me. I'm looking at these young married people going, yeah, it's still there. Some people are saying, let me put my teeth in first. Okay, we'll try. Yeah, yeah. Get that Pepsin out. Say, yeah, all right, there you go. There you go. Oh, no. Oh, no. Now, I'm going to stop right there for a minute. I'm talking about this simple little thing called kissing. And he says there, let him kiss me with the kiss of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. It's like intoxicating. It's amazing. I just love it. Look at verse 4. Draw me and we will run after thee. That's just that line right there. Draw me and we will run after thee. I think it's wise just to kind of go back. If we're going to have a classic marriage, one that everybody wants, one that everyone would like to have. I think about what happened to cars? You know why most cars are traded in or put on a junk pile? Because you got tired of them. I'm used to it. I mean, I've had this for a while. If we're going to have a classy marriage, we need to stay away from that same refrain. Have you ever heard this for marriage counseling? Pastor, I love him. I'm just not in love with him. That stinks. I love him. I'm bound by him. I got the ring. I got to do it. I'm married. I'm here, right? I'm just not in love. You get tired of him? You get tired of her? I just don't feel like I'm in love. I mean, it used to be so good. And we used to be so happy, and we enjoyed every minute of it. And it's so great, and now it's just like every day. It's just like we coexist. We cohabitate in the same house. So I'm just asking, when's the last time you passionately kissed your spouse? I'm talking about running across the room. Honey, just teasing you, I won't do it here. I'm talking about when you cannot wait to get home and walk through that door, and where's that woman at? It used to be that way. It used to, man, I can't wait, he's coming home, and remember she put the hair back, and whatever they do, all the other stuff, you know, and boy, he's coming home, he's walking in the door, and boy, the first thing he does, he had a kiss. Now he walks the door. And wipe your feet, will you please? I just vacuumed. Did you remember that? No, I didn't. I'll be back 7 hours from now. It's just not the same as it used to be. That might be a good sign about rebuilding. Rebuilding. I've been married 47 years. And I can say this, it takes work to keep a marriage that you're not tired of. We've been through 4 children. They're all outside the house. Praise the Lord. We had 4 children. They all had 4 children. I have 16 grandchildren. That's why I'm still employed right there, running. And so there's a lot of trying to see this one, Pennsylvania and Texas and Southern California. And so through all that and all those different in-laws, like that, it takes a lot of work. But see, I'll help you. I still want to be able to walk in that door, have my wife, knowing that I just walked through the door, stop what she's doing, find where I'm coming in. I'm walking in to find her and begin our time together. Just with a kiss. I love how quiet it is right now. What happened to us? What happened? We get tired of it? Have you ever studied just the genetics? Genetics not good. The real reaction that happens when you kiss. The dopamines and things like that bring joy. Bring happiness. Makes you smile. I want to have a happy marriage. I want to enjoy myself. Let me time out right here. Usually in every marriage seminar, I'm not going to be Clint Cavendish right now just to help you out, okay? So in every marriage, Clint, like this, there needs to be someone to broach the subject about intimacy. And no one talks about it. Men wishes the preachers would. They say, well, just go over that stuff. Just go over that stuff. It's like the man... The wife said, honey, can we just sit down and talk a little bit? Can we just sit down and talk? I'd love to sit down and just talk a little bit. We just need to talk a little bit more. I want to get to know you, things like that. And he goes, honey, we've talked enough. I already know you. And you know me. He goes, fine. Okay, that's fine. She said, fine. And so they went to bed that night. And he says, honey, would you like to be intimate? Because we already have children. Why make love anymore? So it's okay. So we don't have to do that anymore either. So. Can I tell you something? A woman needs talk. A man needs touch. I'm going to speak to ladies. I've heard that a woman needs to have just an intimate conversation. Sit down, look at each other, put your cell phone down, look at each other, and just let her voice and vent, and you are there to take it all in and to communicate. I'll do that. I'll talk about communication first, right? Do you have a good communication? When you rebuild cars, and you have to do this, you have to talk to the vendors, you have to talk to the parts people, you have to talk about the painters, you have to talk about this, and all the other stuff going on. You have to be able to communicate. And so one of the first things I can tell you in this situation is to communicate. Remember when there's a time when you go out on a date? I could take you back to Annex Restaurant, downtown Winona, Minnesota. For over 3 hours, we sat down and sat at a nice restaurant, and we just talked and just talked and just talked. I was trying to understand her. I was trying to know her. I was trying to pick up what was her favorite color and who was her favorite this and then how was her mom and dad? What didn't she like? And so all those things. I remember sitting down, and I ordered for her. I wanted to be something nice. And so we sat down. I actually got the car door for her. I walked in the restaurant. I got that door for her. I walked up to the table. I planned for the table. There was a table for two. And she got to the table. I pulled out the chair, and she sat down. I pushed the chair back in. I went around the other side. I sat down. I looked at her. And then the waiter came. I said, I'll just order for us. And I want to make sure it's just really nice and special. And so I think we had this salad. I don't care about salad. That's for rabbits anyway. So I don't care about the green stuff. I grew up without a mom for all my years. I don't eat any vegetables whatsoever. The only green thing I eat is mint ice cream. So I love that, okay? So good. Someone asked me the other day, do you eat ice cream every day? No. I might miss. I don't try to, but I try to eat it every day. So here we are at the restaurant, and I order her the filet mignon. All right? So how do you want to say? I order that. And man, she got hers over there. I got mine over there. And she got the garlic mashed potatoes. We got all sitting there. And so I had a word of prayer for us. And we got done praying. We talked a little bit. And we started actually having our meal. And so I cut, and she cut hers. It was just an accident. She cut hers, and something slipped. Literally, her steak came across the table and landed on my plate. Here's what I said. I'm in love. I'm in love. I'm in love, right? This is how I get. All of a sudden, a fork came across there, and boom, I took it right back there. I've never touched that thing since. No way in the world. So communicate. The Bible says be slow to wrath, slow to speak, and swift to hear. Are you a good listener? Communication is two ways. I'm going to ask you an honest question. Are you a good listener? Here's a big question to ask yourself. Do you listen or do you converse to understand? Do you conversate to understand? Or do you conversate to be understood? Big difference. Help me out here. Do you have a conversation and talk to understand? Or do you have a conversation to talk to be understood? So the question would be, are you a good listener? How many times have you said something, and before it got out of your mouth, you wish you could take the words back? Has anybody ever done that? They're going out there, and you're reaching for them and saying, I know I should not say that. Bring them back here. That's why he says, be slow to speak, slow to wrath, swift to listen. In fact, most communication, most conversations, watch this, most conversations, as she is saying something, we're thinking already. I know what to say about that one. I got it ready. Oh, I know what that. I'm going to save that one for later. Okay, I got that one. And as she is speaking to you, I got this. I can bring this back. I'm ready to go. So you're not really listening to understand her. You're listening so she can understand you, because you're going to come right back at her. I see a lot of little smiles around this place, like. I do that. And many times I have to stop myself to say, not only do I want to hear what she is saying, but I want to hear so I know how she's feeling. I'll say that again. Not only do I want to hear so I can hear what she is saying, But I want to hear very well enough that I know why she's feeling that way. My wife and I are poles and poles and poles apart. That's between man and woman. Well, she was reared the way I was reared. She came from a very well-to-do home. I came from a very poverty-stricken home. I didn't come from home. I came from a house. She had siblings and she had parents who stayed together. I didn't have any of that stuff. No pity me stuff. I don't want to be coddled ever in my life. But to put those two adverse, different people together, we better learn each other. So not only do I want to hear, so I hear what she says, I want to hear, like, how does she feel that? The other day she said something, first time in 47 years. She said, I know you grew up without a mom. I always want to be that one that could just make you proud like a mom. I want to be able to take care of you. I don't want to be baby, but she said, I want to take care of you. Make sure like a mother could just dote over you, be care, and take care of you. I never heard her say that. But now to know that feeling, that made a lot of difference to me. Can I ask you how well you communicate? Are you good at it? I read a book by a man, his name was John Maxwell. John Maxwell, pastor here in Southern California for a while. Some preachers, they get after everybody. Some preachers don't like anybody, you know how it is. John Maxwell, pastor of a very good-sized church, but he's a very gifted speaker, very gifted. John Maxwell married, and in fact, he gives his testimony. It's something that I learned, read one time in a book, I've never forgotten, I used the rest of my life. He and his wife would get in a disagreement or an argument, and John was very gifted. John was very good with his words. John was very knowledgeable. And John knew how to kind of get his way. And so he and Mrs. Maxwell would get in a conversation, and they didn't call it an argument, but a conversation. It's an argument. Call it what you want to, you know. And so they had an argument, and sure enough, John would be able to say, well, honey, I know how you feel, and I understand that, but if you understand this over here and this over here and this, that's why it's this best thing that is over there. She goes, oh, okay, I'll work on it. Sure enough, John won the argument. And it wasn't long after that, until that, another disagreement, another argument, whatever. And so they went kind of talked about it. And John is good. John is a communicator. And John, he's got that charisma. He's got that debonair. And sure, he says, yeah, honey, I know. I agree with you 100%. And now look at this here and look at this here. And we can just change this and here. And she goes, yeah, John, okay. You're right, John. You're right. John walked away and said, I want another one. And John said this. I win all of them. I win. Because one time we had a disagreement and started just same case scenario. She said this, he said this, she said this, he said that, he said this, she said this. He retorted, she retorted. And finally he said this and this, kind of worked this around. And it got down to where, fine, John, you're right. She went to bed. He kind of felt good about that. He went to bed that night himself. Got in bed, prepared himself. She's already on the side, sleeping. He got in bed, puffed up his pillow. As he puffed up his pillow, he noticed there was a, what is this? There's a note. He said, I turned a little nightlight on my side and opened up the envelope, read the note. He said, Dear John, you're right. You are good. You're very good with your words. And you know how to get things your way. You're gifted, and you can communicate well. And John says to tell you, you won tonight, but you lost my heart. Do you argue to win? Or do you argue to help? I'll ask that again. Do you argue, discuss, whatever? Do you argue to win? Because I don't want you to know how I feel, so I can make sure you understand how I feel. Or do you argue or win to help? Oh, now I understand. I won't do that again. I didn't see that. I can work with that. And ever since I read that book, read that one line, I went to my wife and told her. I said, I don't want to win arguments. What does that do? A little notch to my little side gun. I won. Yeah, I won. There she is, and she's devastated. Do you converse or do you argue to win? or to help. I like saying this, you ought to get good at arguing. I'm serious. My wife believes in certain things, I mean, till the cows go home. While I believe in certain things till the cows go home. And I want her to know that, and she wants me to know that. That's fine to do. You ought to become at doing that. It means you're passionate about it. It means you got to know this. And I like that. My wife is the number one Miss Hospitality. I mean, we go to nursing homes, we go to hospitals, and I'm the pastor, I'm walking in there, I'm going to help them out. They go, did you bring your wife? Did you bring her? Is Terry here? No, I left her at home. What do you think? And so I bring Mr. Rose. She just consoles and she loves them and she helps them. Oh, she's so much better at that than I am. And to communicate, that's why I said, it might be late tonight, but I guess where we were last night. We're at the nursing home. We're at the hospital. We had some time off. What do you want? Let's go to the hospital. Communicate not to be heard. Communicate to hear. Can we do this? It's going to take 3 minutes. Watch it. 3 minutes. Do you have your little pen and paper right there? You ready to take this note? Ready? Once you write this, one of you can write it, okay? Usually it's the ladies do that. Men don't do that. Buffaloes don't write, okay? Honey, you just write this down. You just do it. Go ahead and do it. Write down number one. Name three things you like about your mate. Name three things you like about your mate. Name three things you like about your mate. Number one, write three things you like about your mate. Number two, what is the best way for me to get your attention? What is the best way for me to get your attention? Mrs. Ray just brought a cup of coffee to my wife. She just came out of her seat just like that. She got her coffee. Well, if I bring a coffee to my wife in the morning, see, I got her. Number one, name three things you like about your mate. Number two, what is the best way to get your mate's attention? Number three, name the very best time it is for you to communicate. Name the very best time it is to have a good conversation. One more. You can do it real quickly. Number four. Do you feel like you communicate better than you did when you first got married? And right now, watch this, right? If not, how can I fix it? How can I fix it? No, we're not talking very well right now. We don't do very well at this. We don't communicate very well. Oh, we'll fix it. You're all mature adults here. Fix it. Here you go. Name three things you like about your mate. You're going to tell each other that. Number two, what is the best time, best way to get your mate's attention? Tell each other the best way to get their attention. Number three, name the best time to have good conversation. Number four, do you feel like communication, can you fix it? And say, coach me, what can we do, okay? So it is 8:21. We're going to go for 3 minutes. You're going to turn to your spouse, look at each other. You can talk a little softly if you want. Shouldn't be anything embarrassing. We're going to take 3 minutes. I want you to write these answers down, and we're going to come back and talk about these answers, okay? Good. You're on. Good job. Take look. Help each other. There you go. Don't just hear this stuff. Put this stuff into motion, right? It's like I got the wrenches, work on the car. Well, you got to start working on the car right now, okay? Working on the car right now. Someone help me, all right? Someone stand up and say, if not, I'll just call upon you. How's that sound, all right? Tell me something you said tell me three things you like about me, okay? Yes, go ahead. Yep. Good. Smart, hard worker, and faithful. Good. Someone else tell me. Are you still on number one? Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, sir. See, you're all jealous because he's first. You've been there and done that. That's why, you know. That's a way to go, buddy. Way to go. I'm all for you, man. I want what you have, okay? There you go. Good job. Good job. Yes. Oh, yeah, okay. There you go. There's an alternate motive there, okay? There. What did she say? Wow. You want to keep that one. Keep that one right there, okay? Someone else, tell me what you said. Yes. Wonderful. Good, good, good. Someone from this table. Yeah, he's pointing at somebody else. Can I help you out? Not one person at this table had anything good to say, okay? Not one, okay? Yeah, you can do it. Be the leader. Go ahead. Tell me, yep, right there. You have to go back and read your notes. There you go. There you go. With that heart. This table here? Yeah, we're ready. Gwen, you want to go? You listen the first time, Fred. Way to go, okay? She tells that you do it, right? Okay. This table right here. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. She's always been caring, giving. Oh, there you go. There you go. Pastor? Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. What is the best? Yeah, you want to say something? Wonderful. What? Good job. Good job. Guys, you should be on this thing. It'd make it a whole lot better for you, I promise you, okay? Number two, what is the best way to get your spouse's or mate's attention? What did you say? What's the best way to get your mate's attention? Right over here in the red dress, right? Well, my wife said the same thing. Plan an extravagant date and you'll have all my attention. Very, very good. Very, very good. What did you say about best way to get his attention? So did my wife. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it, you know? The phone rings. You're at work. And it's your wife. She says, honey, I need you to come home right now. I said, honey, I'm at work. She says, I know. I got a babysitter for the kids. They're all gone. I'm standing here only in your T-shirt. I said, I'll be right there. Okay, I'll see you there. Then they, hey, who are you? And what did you do with my wife anyway? Okay, what's going on here? Okay. So someone from, yes. This is very analytical. Very analytical.
If I can get her attention by tormenting the cat.
You have a cat? No, I'm sorry. It's okay, okay. Yeah, that would get her attention. That'd be a morbid way to do that. Hey, honey, would you talk to me, please? I'll let your cat go, okay? Okay, good, good. Somebody else, the best way to get your mate's attention. Yes, sir. A trip to McDonald's drive-thru, you got her eating out of the palm of your hand. Way to go. You can tell they've been married for a while, okay? That's good, all right? Far table, way back there, all right? Way back there. Best way to get your spouse's attention. What did you say? The game guy, the ping pong guy, okay? Who did not communicate very well up here, okay? What? Go on a date. A date. What did you say? A hug. Oh, there you go. There you go. Anybody else want to volunteer that one? Yes, sir. As far as Los Angeles Chargers, who did not win? Sorry. You got it. Okay, good. Here we go. Oh, we got it. Here we go. Subject number two. And I try to do this because we leave here and we have nighttime and so forth. Remember you used to go driving down Lover's Lane? And I know there's some maybe American cliches here. You know, you go parking. Oh, it's universal. Amen. Okay. You go out maybe and take the car on the country road and go out there and kiss and hug and, you know, go park. Are you allowed to be in this session? I'm not sure if we should help you. You know, it's a privilege. I'm going to help you. It's a privilege of a marriage. I'm going to talk about intimacy just for a minute here. It's a privilege of marriage. We tell all of our children, this is no go until you're married. And there's those desires that come. You can be 19 and 20 and 21, and boy, you're starting to notice girls, and boy, and girls notice that you're noticing them. Girls didn't care about how they wore their hair and things like that. And all of a sudden, about 16 or 17, boy, they're in front of that mirror, they're doing everything really fine. And boy, now you're looking at them, and they don't have cooties anymore. They're doing pretty good. And now you're noticing, and you cannot wait. You cannot wait to maybe to hold a hand or to have a kiss. We talked about that. But then come that honeymoon night, and boy, that intimacy comes, and boy, what a wonderful honeymoon time that you had. So a drive to Lover's Lane. Can we say that it is a privilege and the privilege of marriage? I hate when it's used as a pawn. You know, if you take a cold shower, bud. You can sleep on the couch. I had that conversation before I got married. I'm not sleeping on the couch. I'm not. Well, you're just, well, let's communicate. How does that sound? I'm not sleeping on the couch. Not because I'm dominant, not because I'm over-forceful, but we're two mature people that can work things out, that we can lie in the same bed and go ahead and get through the matter. I ain't sleeping on the couch, which means this. We're not going to run. We're going to make it work out. You cannot use intimacy as a pawn. Amen. Do your people amen here? Oh, they do. No. Amen. Amen. It's a privilege of marriage. Can't use it as a weapon upon. Y'all stay in shape. Not many preachers preach that, do they? Now, I'm not talking you had to be some bodybuilder or some queen or something like that. Gymnast. My wife and I talked about it. I said, this is a girl I married right here. This is a girl I married right here. And I said, 40 years from now, I want that same girl. It's not wrong. We want to do things. We like taking hikes. She likes hikes. I just follow her. I like driving the car. She takes hikes. That's great. And I go on. I do. I love it. I give her a hard time about it. But I got to be in shape to do that. I got to get up the mountain. I can't let her, like, I'm dying. Gotta stay in shape. Can I tell you something, ladies? It means a lot to him. But he won't say it. Well, Pastor, how about you? No. I'm not healthy. I'm not in shape. But I made some decisions a long time. When I met her, I weighed 176. This morning, I weighed 176. That's what I gave her. I don't need to sit in the living room, and I got my green boxer shorts on. I got the remote in there, just a big old hairy barely. Hey, honey, you love me? No, I don't. The men aren't saying amen now. I don't know what happened to them. Guys are the only species that can get fat and bald and think they're still beautiful. Guys, I'll tell you something. There's something about staying in shape. Curtis Hudson said this: if I knew my health before I was 30, it would affect my health after I was 30. I would take better care of my health before I was 30. I don't do it for anybody else. I do it for that girl right over there. I want to stay in shape for her. I got 4 kids. I got 16 grandkids. They're going to kill me one day. Women need intimate talk while men need intimate touch. Here we go. If you don't fix this, the immorality comes. Let me just say it this way. Ladies, if a man cannot be intimate with you, what options does he have? Pornography? Extramarital affairs? Stop this one, go to a new relationship. There's not a whole lot of options. And it's something that is really easy to fulfill. And you gave that bonding. Therefore, shall a man leave his mother and father, and shall cleave unto his own wife. The two were naked, and they were not ashamed. And then the commandments give to procreate, multiply. The bed is undefiled before God. Intimacy is a wonderful joining together of two people in marriage. Again, I'm not going to go into all this. I'm just saying it's real. It's real. And you can't use it as a card. So, here's your questions. Do you go to Lover's Lane enough? Do you go to Lover's Lane enough? Have you ever asked your spouse, how often do you want to go to Lover's Lane? Just ask. How often would you like to go to Lover's Lane? That's the easy way to put it. Is Lover's Lane a bumpy road or a smooth ride? Is it fun? Is it enjoying? Is it difficult? Is it, oh. Lover's Lane. Do you go to Lover's Lane more or less when you first started? Do you enjoy Lover's Lane? How often would you like to go to Lover's Lane? How often would your spouse like to go to Lover's Lane? Is it a smooth ride or is it a rocky road? Last one, I'm done. Can you fix it? Can you fix it? This is not my last session. I do it because I like to finish with this. You don't have to write notes, but you should when you leave here. If I can say this in all reality and honesty, I'm not some sex perverted person that's all I ever think about, okay? But I am a man. I have needs. There's only one person in my life who can meet those needs. Okay, honey, I'll talk to you. I can tell my wife, okay, honey, I'll talk to you. You want to talk? Talk some more. Go ahead and talk, honey. How have I never talked to my wife for 1 week? I don't want to talk for 1 week. You ever go without having intimacy for 1 week? The same thing for a guy. They say ladies need to have an intimate talk like 3 times a week. A sit down, look in the eyes, how you doing? At least the average man 2-3 times a week needs to have intimate touch. Can you imagine 2 weeks without ever talking to your wife? Wife, I'm not going to go for that. Oh, be careful. Sure, we never talk about this stuff, do we? I've been 46 years in ministry. 38 in the same church. College days, helping kids, counselors, 3 years running a children's home. I'm not saying I'm smart about this stuff, but this repeatedly comes up. That's something you can so easily fix. Go back to number one, communicate. You're all mature. Talk about it. What do you like about Lover's Lane? Where's your favorite parking space? There's a lot of things to talk about. If you want a classic marriage, you've got to rebuild. Fallen heaven, I know that.